always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
What do you think of Trump?
I think I'm going to vote for him.
Really? Are you ready for the blowback?
I was ready not to vote for Trump until what I saw is more than politics. I see a weaponization of our justice system.
Yeah.
You know, Trump is the most investigated person probably in the history of the world. Mm. And they haven't been able to really get him. People might call him an asshole, but he's my asshole.
There you go. He's my a-hole, according to actor Dennis Quaid. Welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show, 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL. I'm Tim Jones. Chris Arp's here. Joey V, we've hardly said hello to you here today. We caught Joey. If you were watching the cameras, you saw Joey V, Chris, eating chocolate cake.
Rare.
Yeah.
I was just bragging to Chris. I went on a couple mile run last night at 10 p.m. just around my neighborhood in the city. And he said, good thing I'm white. And that worked out. I was able to come back.
Good thing you're white and was not wearing a hoodie.
Mm-hmm. I was standing my ground in the whitest shirt you've ever seen.
There you go. No, speaking of Dennis Quaid, I guess he's made his money and had a long and fruitful Hollywood career and he's done. Joey, what would you think if making a statement like that is in Hollywood? Are you throwing away your acting career there?
Well, did you hear it? Did you see the trailer? He's going to portray Ronald Reagan.
That's right.
In this big picture, right. Like big budget movie. Mm-hmm. And his impression wasn't too bad, actually.
So, Joey, in your vast, broad knowledge of the movie CinemaScape universe, when we say Dennis Quaid, like what pops into your mind? Like what do you think's like his most famous, what do you, for thing that,
mine is breaking away. You about the little Indy 500? Do you know when the kids in Indiana race bikes around?
Okay.
And it's just this wonderful coming of age movie about kids swimming in a quarry. It's got Daniel Stern and Dennis Quaid.
Yeah. Ask me, Tim.
So 1979, okay. Breaking Away.
Dennis Quaid, Chris.
I know there's. I hope this is the right one. I know there's two of them. He has a brother, correct?
Crazy Randy.
One of my favorite Randy Quaid movies. I hope this is the gentleman we're talking about. Is the one that he starred with Louis Gossett Jr., where Louis Gossett Jr. was a alien and had a baby.
Oh,
they
really?
They used to play that on cable all the time in the early 80s.
Hilarious.
But yeah, Louis Gossett was, Quaid was a astronaut or something. He got stranded on on an island. Louis Gossett Jr. was this alien creature looking thing. Uh-huh. And they ended up being good friends. And no, they didn't have sex or anything. Uh-huh. The alien could reproduce by themselves.
Like a plant.
I forgot what they call that. Weird movie. You know what do you see it, Joey? You look
I've
it up?
Googled it. It's called Enemy Mine, and the cover has them face to face, so it kind of looks like they're about to kiss, but
kind of gross.
There's no hanky panky.
There's no hanky panky, and there was no alien love making it.
Enemy Mine.
Which Quaid is that?
Mm-hmm. Is that Dennis?
Yeah, that's Dennis Quaid.
Came out in like 1980.
1985.
Is that old? Really?
My goodness. Yeah, 59% on Rotten Tomatoes. Just proof that when stuff came on TV, you just sat and watched it back mm-hmm. then.
Hey, it's something. Mm-hmm. In the early 80s, that's when cable came to the neighborhood.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It was one of those movies that was on cable every 2 hours.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Randy Quaid's a wild man. He is he is definitely a wild man. He was famous for National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Mm-hmm. He was in that. He was in Independence Day. And, he's a wild man. I think he's a big libertarian these days. Chris,
wait,
I looked
wait a minute,
up,
before you get there, Joey, as a movie guy, how can you not know about the movie with Louis Gossett and Quaid where Louis Gossett had a baby as an alien? How can you not know that
so
movie?
So memorable, you forgot the title? Yeah, I wonder what my problem is. I'm going to add it to my watch list.
I remember Enemy Mine. I remember that title. Chris, while we were talking to Zach, I looked up the pine tree flag, you know, the new symbol of racism, according to the lunatic left. And I guess the left just calls anything that's old, especially if it's related to the Revolutionary War, I guess it's just racist, ipso facto, right, as we say in the law. The pine tree flag, or an appeal to heaven, so it's a big pine tree with an appeal to heaven, was one of the flags used during the American Revolution. The flag, which featured a pine tree with the motto, an appeal to heaven, or less frequently, an appeal to God, was used by a squadron of six schooners, those are ships, commissioned under George Washington's authority as Commander-in-Chief of the Continental Army. The pine tree is a traditional symbol of New England. The phrase appeal to heaven appears in John Locke's Second Treatise on Government, where it is used to describe the right of revolution. The flag is the official maritime ensign for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, though the script was removed in 1971, the year of my birth. It was used by the state navy vessels in addition to privateers sailing from Massachusetts.
Look, not only are the Democrats trying to scare everyone that our democracy is trying to be stolen from them or from us, one way that they're trying to say that democracy is trying to be stolen is through the Christian nationalism movement.
Uh-huh.
And they call this appeal to heaven flag Christian nationalism. If you believe that a lot of our founders were believed in God and mentioned scripture and talked about this was a Christian nation, that means you want to be a Christian nationalist and you want to get rid of the separation between church and state and have basically a theocracy. So that's why they are so harping on this appeal to heaven flag, because it's in their quill of things that they're going to use this this fall, that Republicans are about Christian nationalism.
So it's a dog whistle.
Yeah, it's a big dog whistle.
I think we should get that flag and put it behind you, because there's a blank space over your head. We can put the appeal to heaven flag there. Joe Rush, Jeff Allen, get on that lickety-split. Hey, speaking of saving America, which is not what the Democrats and the left are doing, they're the ones actually destroying it. Everything, every accusation they make is actually a confession. We've got an event called Saving America 2024, The Economy and the Courts, featuring legal expert Zach Smith and economics and budgetary expert Joel Griffith. Look, I know those sound like incredibly complex topics. This will be a fun evening because both of these gentlemen are really entertaining, incredibly intelligent and brilliant. And we're going to have them at the Funny Bone, the new Funny Bone, Chris, in St. Charles. The streets of St. Charles is beautiful. It's where the old Noah's Ark used to be for all you old timers. And I know Larry Connors hangs out at the streets of St. Charles. You've got Napoli 3 there. You got Napoli C. Thank you to Napoli for sponsoring News Talk STL. You've got Presino. You've got tons of great restaurants and bars and really cool places. The new Funny Bone is right there. All you got to do is go to newstalkstl.com, click on the Saving America 2024 banner, click on the link for tickets. They're free, but we have to put we need to know how many people are coming, because once it's sold out, then it's game over. So get your tickets now.
And there are rumors, Tim, that you will be doing stand-up before the event to help warm up the crowd. And Joy will be doing a ventriloquist act, and I will be the dummy.
I'm more like dummy-sized, aren't I?
Yeah. I can hear the tickets being returned as we speak.
That's right. That's
the reverse
right.
Sound.
That's right.
You don't want me sitting on your lap, Joy? I'm taking that kind of personal.
Well, I'll take turns.
You know what? We have our personal space here at the studio. We're all about 10 feet away from each other at all times.
Well, Chris just makes a good point. A bunch of us will be there. Chris and I, of course, will be there. And I would imagine the grand majority, if not all of us, regarding all of our six local live and local shows, will be there. And come out and meet us. We'll shake your hands. We'll kiss your babies. We'll sign napkins for you and all of our glamour shots. And we'd love to have you out there. We may even have some News Talk STL swag to give out. We've got those really cool new red polos and hats. I forgot to bring my lid in, a new lid. Thank you to,
I saw the hats laying around. Is that for, I saw three or four of them.
Those are for us.
Okay.
And our listeners.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. We need to get you a lid as well. We want to thank, Sugar Creek Golf Course. I think, Dwayne and the gang are going to be in studio with us later this week.
Friday.
Joey, is that right? Friday.
Okay. And I'll miss
Friday, right at the beginning of the show.
Okay. Very good. So we want to thank them because they're helping us with our swag fest.
You ever played out there?
I have a long time ago. I need to go back. I hear they've done some major improvements to the course. So, well, you know what? We'll have to go check it out sometime.
And I looked it up. I saw Sorkus Webby Jr. runs there.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And they have a News Talk STL room.
Yes, VIP room, I hear.
Like the VIP room. So we're going to have to go out and hang out. We'll do the show from there sometime in the near future. Folks, in addition to the event on June 25th, we will have another announcement in a week or so regarding the debate. So we need you to... We don't want to confuse you we know we're throwing a lot at you today. So just circle the calendar for June 25th. That's the big event we've been talking about all day today. And I want you to hold June 27th. That's the debate. as you know, no big surprise, we're going to do something for the debate. So just circle both those dates, and we'll get to the debate in a little bit. But we want to make sure we focus on this awesome event we're having with the Heritage Foundation. We want to sell it out. We usually do sell our events out, so we want you to jump on newstalkstl.com right now. June 25th, St. Charles Funny Bone, Streets of St. Charles. I want to thank West News Magazine, Mid Rivers Magazine, the St. Louis Young Republicans, all of our presenting host sponsors, newstalkstl.com for tickets and more information. Chris, we have been following the Trump trial, and we're on Trump trial jury watch. The jury has gone home for the day.
Oh.
They deliberated for nearly 4 hours. They have not come to a verdict. Chris, they sent two notes. So when you're in a jury room, if you have a question about something, you can send a note to the judge. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to get an answer. Sometimes the judge is like, I really can't answer that one or the other. In this case, they sent two notes today that I'm aware of. They sent a note requesting some readbacks of some of the trial testimony. So they want some readbacks of witness Pecker and of witness that sounds funny,
yes,
doesn't it? And witness Cohen. So they want to hear I don't know what part of the testimony. The judge is probably going to say, look, there was hours of testimony. Is there something particular area we can read to you? And then the second note was, and this is no surprise, Chris, they want a readback of some of the jury instructions, which are incredibly convoluted and complicated. So that means, Chris, the jury, it doesn't mean acquittal. It doesn't mean guilty. It means they're taking the matter seriously.
That's what I wanted to ask you. In a town that is overwhelmingly Democratic, you would think that is against Donald Trump. Is that any sign at all that it's taken 4 hours and they're going home and it wasn't one of those jury verdicts that was about 45 minutes or an hour? Does that surprise you at all?
No. Look, I hope I'm wrong, but I'm trying to put my heart aside on this. And my feelings regarding this leftist lawfare, I think there will be a conviction. Mm-hmm. Now, I hope I'm wrong, but if you just look at the makeup of the jury, a lot of times it's kind of like picking your sports team. You know, the game is sometimes decided by the players that walk onto the field, and in this case, we have likely a liberal leaning jury. Now, I'm judging these people based on stereotypes alone, which you shouldn't do, right? Maybe there are some people on this jury, maybe the lawyers.
That Bulwark article, that one juror.
That's very interesting.
That one juror there. And
making googly eyes.
The defense and those in favor of the prosecution have noticed this person, not just one side. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Chris, in case you missed our first hour, Chris was talking about this great arc. Where's that from, Chris?
The Bulwark.
This one juror was making like happy googly eyes every time like something in favor of Donald Trump was happening, like lighting up when they were like attacking Cohen and things like that. So yeah, I mean, all you need is one person to say, I'm sorry, I am not going to vote for guilty. I'm going to hold out. So that means you're either going to get a not guilty or you're going to get a hung jury. Now with a hung jury, they can retry the case. I think this thing's such a disaster, and I think it's all about keeping Trump off the campaign trail. I don't think they'll bother. But it is very interesting to me that the jury did not just go into the jury room and go, hey, let's order lunch and then let's come back with a guilty verdict, because we all know Trump's guilty. Everybody knows Trump's guilty, right? Everybody in this jury room, because we're all Manhattanites. They obviously didn't do that.
Which scenario do you make more money as a juror? Being a juror on a jury that convicted Trump, or a juror that held out in a hung jury for Trump? More profitable?
If you're writing your memoirs, I think you want to be the holdout. You know, there's a little bit of free legal advice for you there, folks. We got a great show to help you into the evening hours here. We're going to talk to Ben Brown next about SJR 78, which is going to protect our electoral system. As we wrap up this discussion about the Trump trial, I want you to hear from some legal experts about what they think about the case now that it's concluded. That's the subject matter of today's Speaker Stump Speech.
Listen to me.
I'm very consistent. I'm a very stable genius.
It's time for the Speaker's Stump Speech, sponsored by Hanson's Tree Service at hansonstree.com.
Look, I'm not going to say that any of these folks are in the tank or not for Donald Trump. I just think they make all of these different sources make some really good points about the trial now that the 6 week plus trial is over. The Wall Street Journal editorial board, which has been very rough on Trump from time to time over the last many years, says New York prosecutors rested their hush money case against Donald Trump after 20 days in court and a trial transcript of, get this, 4,000 pages. The missing piece is still missing. The question is whether Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg presented the evidence necessary for a conviction. If we were in the jury room, we would say no. Jonathan Turley, even a cursory review of the evidence shows this case does not have a leg to stand on. Former federal prosecutor Andrew McCarthy. Now look, I think Andrew McCarthy is generally a center-right kind of guy. He also has been a frequent critic of Donald Trump. I think Andrew McCarthy calls balls and strikes. Isn't that what you want? You don't want a leftist. You don't want someone who's a Kool-Aid drinker. You want somebody like Andrew McCarthy. He says Trump ought to be acquitted for the simplest of reasons. Prosecutors can't prove their case. How about some criminal defense attorneys? David Fisher says the prosecution has not established a criminal offense happened. Criminal defense attorney James Trusty. How about that name for a criminal defense attorney? That is unlike any trial I could ever think of, that you go through the entire trial. It's still an open question of how in the world that this is a felony case. Attorney Will Chamberlain. No reasonable juror can rely solely on Cohen to prove anything beyond a reasonable doubt. And Judge Merchan should have dismissed this case outright. Greg Jarrett, Fox News legal analyst, who's been around the block for a couple decades or more. In reality, none of the essential elements of the alleged crimes in the indictment have been met by prosecutors. There's no credible evidence Trump engineered or even knew about the booking entries by the accountants that were not false at all. Nor is there any plausible evidence he willfully violated campaign laws that were not violations. Where is the fraud that prosecutors argued in their opening statement? Like Bigfoot, it's a fictitious missing link in the case. This has always been a trial in search of an imaginary crime. It's a disgraceful charade. And finally, Attorney Scott Johnson, under New York State Constitution, the felony statute invoked gives insufficient notice of what it's criminalizing. The indictment fails to explain what laws Trump is alleged to have broken. Bragg purports to enforce federal law over which he has no enforcement jurisdiction, a point I've made a million times on the show. To top it all off, Bragg's version of federal campaign finance law, over which he has no authority, diverges from the interpretations followed by the two federal agencies with exclusive jurisdiction, the Justice Department and the FEC, both of which declined to pursue Trump on any of this. Attorney Scott Johnson sums up my problems with this case. This case is violative of every single thing that I learned in criminal procedure, in criminal law, in constitutional law, and that I practiced under the laws of the state of New York and the state of Missouri for nearly two decades. Everyone agrees. This was a persecution in search of a prosecution. This was a witch hunt in search of some sort of magical elixir of finding fault where none lies. But like we said, we're dealing with a Manhattan jury. We're dealing with a place that voted for Joe Biden 85% plus. We're dealing with a place that exemplifies Trump derangement syndrome. Let's see if there's at least one cooler head that might prevail. And that's the stump speech for today. It's going to be interesting, isn't it? See how long they're out. Yeah, it's only Wednesday. Chris, there was an interesting stat today. The shortest jury deliberation on record was 6 minutes. Mm. The longest jury deliberation in the world, somebody read this out of the Guinness Book of World Records today, was 4.5 months.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know where that was or what it was about, but they said that was the longest jury deliberation in the world.
So. You would have thought the judge would have just threw up his hands and just said, you can't come to a verdict, hung jury, right? Four months?
Yeah, how do you have them keep coming back and decide it's not a hung jury?
Like $2 a day.
Exactly. All right, folks, we're going to get to a break, and then we're going to talk. What are we going to talk? We're going to talk legislative matters. Yes, there was a couple bright spots in this past legislative session, and there was one big one, and we're going to talk about that next with Missouri State Senator Ben Brown about his victorious passage of SJR 78. You all get to vote on this. What are you going to be voting on this November? Senator Brown will tell us next on the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show, 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
As you can imagine, you know, with Haiti being in the condition that it is, it's literal anarchy. So So finding an airline that would agree, we do have that in place. So if everything, you know, goes smoothly, I think we could see possibly by the end of the week, them back into the States so that we can, you know, have services and all of that. The support and the outpouring of love that we have received from this has been just remarkable and touched our hearts in so many ways. People started GoFundMe pages, you know, trying to help in any way that they could. And it's just unbelievable to watch how people have been so generous to try to give and help us get them home.
That was from the Tim Jones and Chris Harp show yesterday. That was Missouri State Representative Ben Baker discussing the horrible tragedy that befell his family. His wonderful daughter, Natalie, his son-in-law, Davey, were killed, ambushed by Haitian gangs in Haiti last week. And everybody in the state of Missouri is working overtime to help Ben in any way possible to try to ease the pain of this loss, get his children back home. And the reason I played that, Chris, was because our next guest worked very closely with Ben Baker in the House. Ben Baker was the House sponsor of the anti-ranked choice voting, citizen-only voting provision. So I wanted to play that, and we'll get Senator Brown's reaction to that here in just a second. Let's go ahead and bring him in. He is Missouri State Senator Ben Brown, 26th Senatorial District, my state senator, representing the beautiful city of Eureka and points westward in the 26th District. He had one of the big accomplishments of the session, getting SJR 78 across the finish line with the assistance of Ben Baker in the House and so many of their colleagues. Senator, welcome back to the program. It's really great to have you on Newstalk STL today.
Yeah, always a pleasure, guys. Great to be back on.
Excellent.
And, Senator, we'll get into all the details of SJR 78, but we didn't want to just gloss over the fact that you obviously know Ben Brown extremely well. The representative worked with you very closely on 78. He's an incredible legislator, a great gentleman, and I'm sure you're just as equally heartbroken by this loss as we all are.
Yeah, I was absolutely shocked to see the news. Ben is... You know, he's a great conservative. We need more people like him in the legislature. You know, always acts with integrity and just really an all around nice guy. And it just shows you this really can happen to anyone. And just my heart goes out to his family. As a father myself, I just can't imagine.
Senator, let's talk about SJR 78, which the voters will be voting on in November, an issue that is very close to my heart. What are we going to be voting on?
So yeah, my SJR 78, it does two things. There's two parts to strengthen the integrity of our elections, and this will be voted on most likely in November, whether or not it will go into our state's constitution. The first provision forbids any local government from adopting any kind of ranked choice voting policy. The second provision puts in our constitution and ensures that only U.S. citizens can vote. So both very, very important provisions. You know, I can kind of break those down one by one. I'll kind of leave it to you guys how you want to go through those.
Yeah, Senator, we definitely get in the nitty gritty here. I've seen a lot of criticism, as I'm sure you have, from the left hand side of the aisle, from the media, from the commentator, saying this is a solution in search of a problem. We don't have a problem of non-citizen voting in the state. And, you know, and they also think that ranked choice voting is wonderful. Senator, I know you've done a ton of research all across the country on this. This is a problem, isn't it? And in states where it's not absolutely crystal clear, if there is the tiniest little loophole, the left will try and drive a semi-tractor trailer through it, won't they? They're trying to have non-citizens vote in various states and various locales. I saw a story today about another jurisdiction where non-citizens are voting. So I don't know if it's a widespread problem in Missouri, but we should definitely be preemptive on this, shouldn't we?
Absolutely. And far too often, Republicans are playing defense instead of preemptively trying to solve these problems. And you have to be aware of what's happening in other states. You know, this spells out pretty clearly. If you look at Article 8, Section 2 of the Missouri Constitution, which specifies who can vote in our elections, it says, all citizens of the United States over the age of 18 who are residents of the state are entitled to vote. That's the language that opponents of SJR 78 point to, saying, you know, this is a non-issue. Our Constitution already prohibits non-citizen voting. But let's compare this with the constitutional language of another state.
Mm-hmm.
Article 2, Section 2 of the California Constitution. A United States citizen 18 years of age and resident in the state may vote. The constitutional language that dictates who is permitted to vote in Missouri and California is nearly identical. So why is this important? Well, on August 8, 2023, the California Court of Appeals ruled that non-citizen voting in San Francisco was constitutional under state law. It was the first appellate district, Division 5. They ruled the case was Lacey versus City of San Francisco et al., that San Francisco can expand the electorate to include non-citizens because the language of the California Constitution does not prohibit local legislation which expands the ability to vote to non-citizens. So even though our Constitution doesn't expressly allow non-citizens to vote, it also clearly does nothing to prohibit it. This is fact, and the ruling in Lacey versus San Francisco confirms this. And if you think back like a decade ago, many would have said that their interpretation of California's constitution also prevented non-citizen voting. You know, people would have said, oh, you're crazy. This would be happening in 10 years. But look where we are. It has just been confirmed by the appellate court. You have actually non-citizens being elected to election boards in San Francisco.
A Chinese immigrant.
Not the direction we want our state to go. Mm, exactly.
Yeah, she's a Chinese immigrant that was elected to the election board. And we did a story on this a few months ago. She can barely speak English. You know, Ben Brown, Representative Brown, this issue came to the forefront in late 2021 when New York passed an ordinance allowing non-citizens to vote in their elections. And the crazy thing about that ordinance is these nationals only had to live in the city for 30 days. And then the following year, the District of Columbia said, hold my beer. And they did the exact same thing. So this is an issue. I'm glad that you are on the forefront of this and getting this before the people so they can vote on this.
Well, absolutely. And I have a friend that used to live in San Francisco, actually, that might be listening in as we speak, that actually mentioned that she knows people in San Francisco and that might be on the, you know, most likely on the other side of the political aisle than myself, and express the frustration that there is right now because you have elected officials that are catering more towards people that are here illegally than the actual citizens. Because when you can go out and you can cast a vote, you have just as much power over what happens in the government as people that are citizens here.
Exactly. Missouri State Senator Ben Brown, our guest here this afternoon. Senator, let's get to the second part, which is just as critical as the first part. The first part being the prohibition on non-citizens voting. Very important that we clarify that, as you just expressly pointed out, that we clarify in our Constitution. Second provision would prohibit ranked choice voting. Senator Brown, as best as you could explain it, I know there's about 30 different versions of it. It's one of the reasons we should ban it. What is ranked choice voting? Why is it a bad idea? Why doesn't it work? Why should we prohibit it here in the state of Missouri?
So ranked choice voting, in a nutshell, is a system in which you can select multiple candidates. So the one person, one vote system that was pretty much the foundation of our country, of our republic, is thrown out the window, and instead you can select sometimes unlimited number of people, sometimes four or five candidates. It varies by election, and you get to rank them in order. Then you go through multiple rounds of tabulation where candidates get thrown out if they're not the top vote getter in that round. So what you end up with is this concept of trashed ballots, where I forget the percentage. I had a statistic to where a large percentage of people, even a ranked choice voting system, still only select one. I mean, it's hard enough to get people to, you know, people, they're busy lives. It's hard to find the time to research and get comfortable with one candidate that represents your values, much less two, three, four, five. So a lot of these people are still only selecting one.
Mm-hmm,
if you're
mm-hmm.
one candidate or two candidates don't make it to the successive round, your ballot is essentially trashed. It doesn't count towards the end result. And, you know, the effectiveness of this or lack thereof is not something you have to take my word for, because, you know, fortunately for us, unfortunately for them, there are many real world examples right now where this has been enacted and we're seeing it play out in real time. You have in Maine, for instance, they enacted a statewide ranked choice voting, and there was a study that looked at 98 recent elections, and over 60% of them, the person that got the most votes was not the victor in the end when all the rounds of tabulations were counted.
Wow.
Representative Baker, talk about in the ranked choice voting portion of the bill that St. Louis and I think also Kansas City have a carve out from this. Explain the politics behind that.
By the way, you got yourself in trouble by mentioning Ben Baker and right before me because I think I get my name confused with Ben Baker more than anyone else in the Capitol.
I can imagine.
I guess.
The double Bens. Yeah, exactly.
So, I'm sorry. I got distracted.
It's okay. The carve outs for St. Louis City and Kansas City, what's the politics behind that?
So, as you both know, the Senate is the more deliberative body, I guess you could say, with a very strong filibuster. Mm-hmm. So that was a way I was able to maneuver through the Democrats filibustering this bill was to make it effective as of the date that it's passed. So it won't affect, it will prevent the spread of any future ranked choice voting. However, any city, well, this city of St. Louis is the only place that has it in Missouri, that has it in effect, they would not be affected by this because it would be passed after that was already put into place. Now, if they were to backtrack, which I know there are even some Democrats in the city of St. Louis that feel that this was a big mistake now, if they were to backtrack and change, then I think that would lock it in at that point. However, it would prevent the spread, whether it's to the entire state, which there have been efforts to initiate a petition, or city by city, county by county, which we've seen in other states as well. It will prevent the adoption of this policy anywhere.
Mm-hmm. And Senator, ranked choice voting, it's really just a scheme, isn't it, by some on the far left to try and basically, as Donald Trump might say, rig the election, right? They're trying to game the system. And just to show how unpopular it is, ranked choice, the concept of ranked choice voting has been around for nearly a decade. Only two states in the entire nation have gone ahead and adopted it. And one of them, Alaska, I believe, Senator, is trying to undo its ranked choice voting system. I think they have a proposition on their ballot this year to remove ranked choice voting from that state because it does produce such weird, wacky results, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We're seeing the attempt to repeal in Alaska, Maine, I mentioned before, and there are other places where the proponents of this haven't been able to get it passed statewide. And so they go municipality to municipality, county by county. The example we used earlier, just I guess not the best example of election integrity, the city of San Francisco, which voted to allow illegals to vote. They also had a election to where there were actually more ballots that were thrown out than counted towards the final result. So that was my aim. You know, we live in a pretty conservative state, so I was less worried about something like this passing statewide, but we've seen in other places where that attempt fails, they just go and try to sell it city by city. And that's what I wanted to stop and be preemptive and put an end to that before it could spread any further in our state.
Finally, Representative Brown, before we let you go, you are a politician, of course, but you also are a restaurant owner. We've done several stories about the economy and inflation and people's spending and buying habits. How is business going, sir?
You know, it's pretty good. I moved locations. I used to own a different restaurant in Chesterfield. I now own one called the Reserve Restaurant and Lounge, located in Creve Coeur off Bob Street Road in the old Granite City Brewery location.
Oh, I know exactly where that's
at.
That's on the way home.
There, feel free. There you go. Come by. We have a great happy hour.
I will do that one day. You may see me after the show one day. Stop by.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. Hello? Is he still there?
Yep. Senator, I think you were telling us about how things are going at the Reserve.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it's going well. You know, we opened in January, so I've been in session since we opened. So I haven't been as hands on with this restaurant as I was with Satchmo's, the old one, which, you know, many people heard about what happened there when there were the attempts to shut us down, which kind of propelled me into this position.
Sure.
But, you know, things are going well. We brought back one of our old original chefs from the old location. Yeah. And he's doing an excellent job. Really, just the food quality and everything is just off the scale. So, you know, I would love to see people and have them stop by.
If you are there one day or one weekend, you will see me and my wife
We will definitely stop
Terrific.
By.
Terrific.
Yeah, it looks fantastic. I'm looking at your Facebook page right now. We'll definitely have to swing by. It looks like a gorgeous place. Missouri State Senator Ben Brown, he is the proud sponsor of the anti-ranked choice voting bill. You will get to vote on this, folks. This Ben, will that be on the ballot in November? Did we discuss that already?
I don't believe it's confirmed, but from what I've heard, it's most likely going to be on the ballot in November. I believe only two ballot items have been added for August as of now. So, you know, I'll definitely be making the rounds, I'm sure, doing some media to promote SJR 78 before it appears on the ballot. But yeah, just keep a lookout for that. And
awesome.
We have an excellent opportunity to defend the integrity of our elections.
Fantastic. We will definitely have you back on to speak about that and more. Missouri State Senator Ben Brown. He's Ben Brown for Senate.com at Ben Brown Tweets on Twitter X. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, guys. Mm-hmm. Take care.
Yeah, you too as well. There is a happy warrior indeed.
He is, and I know that location well, that old Granite City brewery and restaurant there. I've eaten there many, many times.
I'm looking at it right now, Chris. I think mm-hmm. it's 11411 Olive Boulevard. Yep. Does that sound mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And it's called the
Over by City Place,
basically. Yeah, the Reserve Restaurant and Lounge. It looks gorgeous, and the menu looks spectacular. We may have to go there.
Yes, yes.
Maybe we'll have to do a happy hour live remote from the Reserve.
One thing, that song right there, one of the greatest scenes in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Those of my age will understand what I mean with there. And Tim, I got a story when we come back. What does Pat Sajak retiring from Wheel of Fortune have to do with affecting politics?
Oh.
We'll talk about that
when
we come back.
That's a great tease indeed. Stand by for that and a preview of Larry Connors USA. All of that when the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show rolls on with producer Joey V, 101.9/94.1 News Talk, STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Tavares, right in the butt.
What?
No. Blake.
This is the best.
Yeah, that's it, I think, yeah.
Much better answer.
5:51 on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show, and I don't know what that person had on their mind there, but that is definitely was obviously not the the clue, right in the butt. Mm-hmm. What was it even close? What was the actual?
Well, the first word didn't have enough cubes for it to even be right. It was this, so there was only four empty spaces, and he was like, "Right in the butt."
Not it. And not
what was,
it.
What was the phrase?
This is the best.
How do you get right in the butt?
Exactly.
Best.
Strange. Hey, I got another Bulwark story today, and it is regarding from the Bulwark, and it's regarding Pat Sajak and politics. When Pat Sajak retires from hosting Wheel of Fortune next month after 41 seasons, that's incredible.
That's amazing.
I'm old enough to remember who the original Wheel of Fortune host was, and that was Chuck Woolery.
Oh, yeah.
He was the original host in 1975. It could upend, when he leaves after 41 seasons, it could upend one of the surest bets of every election cycle going back more than a decade. That's because in the world of political advertising, Wheel of Fortune is widely considered to be the best bang for your buck, mm-hmm. for your ad spend buck. And it really makes sense. Listen to this. While Wheel doesn't have the massive viewership of Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, or even regular old Sunday daytime football, its audience is quite large, averaging more than 8 million viewers per night. The audience is also highly demographically concentrated. The median viewer in Nielsen's oldest tracked category, 65 plus, you know, mm-hmm. the old folks watch that.
Okay.
Which is to say the show's viewers belong to the most dedicated block of voters in the country. Wheel also airs in every market in every corner of America and often leads into the nightly news, which mm-hmm. old people watch, mm-hmm. which adds to its political value. This is how much Wheel of Fortune ads they make. It's no surprise that Wheel has raked in the dough in these past several election cycles. The 2008 cycle saw Obama leading the field in placing big bets on Wheel's audience. Former president's 2012 face-off with Romney. The show earned $57 million from campaign ads.
Smokes.
Wheel spending during the 26th campaign reached even greater heights. So Pat Sajak leaving after 41 years. If you're running for national office for president, you have to buy
an ad on Wheel of Fortune. Mm-hmm. Will it still have that same appeal with the new host? Who knows? Is Joey, do you know, is Vanna leaving us along with Pat, or is she staying?
You know, only dumb people watch Wheel of Fortune, so I haven't been keeping up. I know his daughter has been
filming. You're a Hollywood guy.
Yeah, I'm a Jeopardy guy.
Okay. Oh, you are intelligent. I forgot.
Who's hosting Jeopardy now? That's been a Ken round Jennings. Robin, huh?
Ken Jennings.
Ken, is he any good?
He's the best. I mean, he's one of the greatest champions ever to play the game, so he knows it inside and out, and he's very good.
Okay.
When they were supposed to, at one time, when they were looking for hosts, there was a transgender person was in the running for that.
I mean, they had a lot of
binary.
They had a lot of celebrities just try out, and it was fun watching them. Aaron Rodgers was one of the big names.
That no way.
Was in the mix. Yeah,
is Aaron Rodgers that smart?
Well, you just got to read a cue card. I think that's most of it, right?
He's a pretty smart guy.
Yeah,
you know, he was anti-vaxxer. You're right though, Joey. Jeopardy is definitely. I mean that. Those are mind benders. A lot of those.
It is. And, you know, when I was a little younger, a little more intelligent, I used to watch Jeopardy and try to answer the question. I used to do decent. I wasn't going to be a contestant or anything. But, now I don't even watch it. I don't even try to embarrass myself. And you know what? I wonder this. Are the people that, you know, win 5 days in a row that are the master grand champions, are they really, really that intelligent? Are they just masters of memorizing just trivia? They have a warehouse full of it and they can recall it very quickly. Are they just very smart, or are the two one and the same?
Nerd.
There you go.
Quoting seriously, because movie. I mean, these people are smart, obviously, but sure. When I watch the shows and the people that are very good, they just seem to have just a broad general knowledge on a lot of things. And they're able to retrieve that, to memorize it and retrieve
it.
Does that equal intelligence if you can remember a large variety of useless things?
Mm-hmm. Or if you live long enough, is that wisdom? You know, I don't know. So has Vanna White officially retired yet or not?
No, she's still on.
Her job's gotten easier. Like, she just looks at it and then it changes the letter.
Yeah, it used to be back in
Joey's
the day.
Cracking on Wheel of Fortune.
Well,
tonight,
you know, back in the day, she at least had to turn the letters.
Right.
Now she just touches the box and it lights up.
Yeah, Joey's not a Wheel of Fortune fan.
We've established that. You're our Hollywood guy, of course. Is there any other job in Hollywood where you can make goo gobs of money and just have an easier job than Vanna White? Are there easier? Maybe the Price is Right models?
Well, the game show host is the coveted job in Hollywood. Drew Carey said he will never quit that job. I mean, you do five episodes a day, too.
Yeah. And then cash the check.
Anything at game show, I'd love to be a part of.
No whammies. I remember when we went out to California when I was a young kid in 75. We went out to Burbank Studios, and I ended up seeing the Hollywood Squares. I ended up seeing that set.
No
and I told you guys before, there was a game show that after you answered all the questions and you went through your round, you played on this big giant pinball machine.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's where you won a bunch of prizes. I even saw that thing. Larry Connors, USA is up next. Larry will have the Trump watch. You will also have all the big issues of the day. You'll talk about that. Larry Connors, USA, from 6 to 8. You've been listening to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show on 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL. Drive safe and have a great evening.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.